Additionally, it would be helpful if you have a sitter. It's not indispensable, though, but certainly it would help. Of course, these are brachas that we're all familiar with. Tonight we're discussing Birchas HaShachar. So it's the second part of the series. I should mention what I failed to mention last time, that all the shurim are sponsored by Becky and Avi Katz, and we thank them for their sponsorship. So there are really a number of ways that we can approach the shiurim from tonight on in reviewing the Siddur. There's an old story that William Safire always tells, that when he worked in the Nixon White House, he said his job was always to tell Nixon when any issue came up, take the easy way out. So that when he'd give a speech, the president would be able to say, some of my advisors have been telling me to take the easy way out. The easy way out in this context is really to focus on the halachos. Halachos of Al-Nitiyas Yadayim, and halachos of Birchas HaTorah, and the Birchas HaShachar, etc. But the halacha really addresses just one dimension of the tefillah. And of course, we can't ignore it, so we'll touch on it occasionally, but it is only one dimension. And the Birchas HaShachar represent more than just the halachos. The question that I want to deal with, both tonight and as we go through each section of the tefillah, is what really is the experience of Birchas HaShachar, Psukat HaZimra, etc.? What exactly are we saying? What are we thinking? What are we supposed to be feeling at the time we are uttering all of these brachos? Why does the Torah, why does the tefillah rather, begin with these 25 some odd brachos that we're obligated to say every day? And in fact, for most of these, the obligation is the same for men as for women. Another approach we could have taken is just to go through the Siddur and read each one and just ponder each one. If we read it slowly, so it would take even more than an hour. One wonders how we go through it every morning in 3 or 4 minutes. But the brachos are all very profound, but they're designed to effect a certain state in the mispalel, in the person who's davening. That's what I want to understand. How did Chazal construct or compose the tefillos, especially these brachos, in order to produce or to prepare the person for amidah lifnei Hashem, for standing before God, and give us the perfection of tefillah? What exactly were they trying to accomplish? What did they say? So to understand that, we need a little background, and I think it's a very appropriate place to start, with an understanding of what brachos are generally. Our lives are really surrounded by brachos. And yet, what really is a bracha? What are we saying? Baruch Atah Hashem, blessed are you, O God. What exactly is that? What is a bracha? What does it mean to say Baruch Atah, you are blessed? So we'll start first with number 2. If the Torah can begin with Bereishis with a Beis, I could start with number 2, not number 1. Number 2 is a Sefer HaChinuch, Mitzvah Tav Lamed, which is the Mitzvah of Birchas HaMazon. So there the Chinuch says, by way of introduction, I have it all copied here, of course, a long Mitzvah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Kulo Tov, God is all good, and God is defined as perfection. Since God is defined as perfection, we cannot add nor subtract to any of God's goodness or greatness or perfection. So therefore, we always should disabuse ourselves of the notion that when we say Baruch Atah Hashem, we're adding anything to God. It's far from the truth. We add absolutely nothing. So then what are we doing? So he continues that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Poel Kol Nimso. He's the one who activates all beings. He animates every living creature. And he's also, we start now in 2, Mimidosav Baruch Hu, Shurav Chesed. God is abundant in kindness. V'chafetz betovas briyosav, v'rotzen liyoson re'uyin v'zakon l'kabel tova meito. As someone, as a being who's Rav Chesed, God desires, so to speak, the good of his creatures. And he wants to bestow good upon his creatures. And that's part of the Shleimus Hashem, just as we know. The Balachinuch writes very well, no one can be considered Sholem B'tova, perfected in goodness, if he doesn't want to be meitiv lacherim, to bestow that goodness upon others. So certainly HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Rav Chesed, he wants to be atov u'meitiv lorom v'latov, and but everybody. V'achar askoma zo sheyadana b'chiv meirov shleimus tuvo shechafatso l'arik olena mibirchaso. Now that we agree that because of God's perfection, he wants to shower blessing upon all of us, nemar sheinyan habracha sha'anu omrim l'fanov, it comes out that the notion of a blessing, as we recite them, einenu rak hazkara le'orer nafshenu b'divrei finu ki hu ha-mivorach u-mivorach yichlo kol ha-tovos. We are saying, acknowledging, mentioning, in order to arouse our own souls with the words of our mouths, that God is mivorach, blessed, in the sense that yichlo kol ha-tovos. He is inclusive of all brachos. Once we recognize that God is kulo bracha, really the repository of all blessings, then, he continues, that we can ask him for a variety of things, das, slicha, refuah, osher, etc. At the bottom, nimso lefi anochas tamze, shiye baruch tohar, baruch then is an adjective, klomar, hodoi, love, it's an acknowledgement to God, ki hu kolel kol abrachos, that he is the repository of all blessing. Baruch atah Hashem, we acknowledge that God is the repository of all blessing. That's the first idea. And therefore we stand before him, because it's as if God controls the Otzer HaBrachos, and we appeal to the master of the Otzer HaBrachos. Rav Dessler in one has a different nuance to the notion of bracha. He says, Nusach HaBracha, Baruch Ato Hashem, it's in the third Chalek, page 273. Perish HaRishonim, many of the Rishonim, he cites here the Karakemach, I think the Rosh says a similar thing, that what does it mean, Baruch Ato, Shashem Hu Mikor HaBrachos? God is the source of all blessing. To be the source of all blessing means, he continues, Kol Yispashtus HaGiluyim B'Briya Bo Mimenu Yisbarach. Any appearance of anything in the physical world must come from God, and a bracha is ribui ha'ispashtus haruchnias hazos. A bracha is an augmentation of the good that exists in the world. That is bracha. Now he goes on in the first paragraph to say that that phrase, baruch atah, is not a praise of God. It's really a tefillah. It's a bakasha. It's a prayer, it's a request. What's the request? So let's look at the second paragraph. Kachu hezber advarim, hinei kol ma she'argish adam l'chisaron, whatever a person feels that he or she is lacking, yishav l'maloso, he has a shifa, yearns to fill, uvimakom shehifa shom tefila l'milui ha-shifa. Wherever a person has a yearning, in that place of yearning, he's going to have a tefila in order that that yearning should be satisfied. Ki kishemargish adam es atzmo chaser, bechrech ponehu el amakar lekabel misham tzarko ulashlim chesrono. Whenever a person feels he's missing something, so you're missing something, where do you go to fill what's missing? You go to someone or something that has what is missing in order to help you fill it. So he says, l'mashal, in our world, a poor person needs money. Where is he going to go? Not to a poor person, I go to a wealthy person. So a wealthy person can give him money to help him out. Skip a few lines. Therefore, Hamamin Hayodeki Hamakor Amiti Ko Hu Hashem Yisbarach, person who trusts in God and recognizes that he is the source, the true source of everything, Mimela Pone El Hashem Yisbarach Lamalos Chesrono. Therefore, he turns to God in order to fulfill whatever deficiency he has. Hare Shargoshas Achisaron Bechrech Tavis Amamin Lide Tvilo. Therefore, just the sense that we don't have something that we want forces us to turn to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Umeirich Gisa, conversely, as long as a person feels that he does not need anything, he's whole, I have everything that I want, so then it's more difficult to turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Adayin lochosh b'chesronos lamita. So on the one hand, he's confused. He doesn't sense that he really has chesronos. But such a person is not going to turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Comes out that Eifshar lakir shivcho yisbarach bofen yashir. It's impossible to recognize the praise of God in a direct fashion. Elorak mitoch hakara shiflus v'chisaron atzmeinu. We only recognize God's greatness in a comparative sense when we contemplate our lowliness and our deficiencies. So the true shevach to God and the purpose of the bracha is to recognize that God is the makor, and that makor has the capacity to satisfy the need, satisfy whatever we are lacking. Largish es atzorach lemiluch esroneinu fanos b'tfilo amakor amiti v'yachidi lemiluim, to turn to God in prayer, to the only true source that can satisfy that need, and thereby recognize godel chasadov yisbarach. Zeu hageder hamiti shel imreinu baruch. That is the true parameter of our repetitious phrase baruch. It's a recognition of the praise of God through tefillah, that God is the source of everything. If we don't feel a deficiency, we don't turn to God. So baruch atah is a recognition that we have some deficiency, some need. Doesn't mean, by the way, necessarily, as we'll see in Berachas HaShachar, that we have, we need money, we turn to Him. We need help, we turn to Him. No. We need a lot of, we need life. We need the ability to serve Him. We need the ability to see, to breathe, etc. All these things, since they're deficiencies in the human being, if we're deprived of them, we relate to the source of everything, the kolo kol abrachos, the mekor kol abrachos as well. A similar idea the Aruch HaShulchan brings down in number 6 in Simon Hay. We say Baruch Atah Lo Shiyisbarach Tzarech LeBirchaseinu Chas V'Shalom. Not that God needs our brachos. El Hu Kmo Or HaChozer SheYashpia Birchaso Lanu. He's like the light which revolves, which restores to us the brachos that we need. It's as if, he goes on to say, that God is the master of the pipeline. There's a pipeline. There are brachos that exist, shefa brachos. Those brachos are designed to come to earth. Since God is a Rav Chesed, they're to be bestowed on His creatures. What we have to do is activate that pipeline, or in a better metaphor, keep that pipeline clear of any obstruction. So when we're directly linked to Kadosh Baruch Hu, then the pipeline of brachos comes to us very easily as well. Now the Birchas HaShachar are part of a conglomerate. They begin a set of activities that we perform during the day. That's noted in the famous Gemara Menachos Daf Mem Gimel Mit Beis. Tanya, Hoyer Mer Omer, number 3, Chayav Adam Levarech Mea Brachos B'chol Yom. Person is obligated to say 100 brachos every day. Shenemar, V'ato Yisrael Masha Melkech Hashol Meimach. And now God said it's in Akev. Israel, Moshe says, what does God ask from you? Kim li'iras Hashem Elokecha, to fear God, love Him, cleave to Him, etc. What's the limud? So Rashi says, it takes a different shot, but Rashi says, Mo Hashem Elokecha Shol Meimach, Mo, you shouldn't read the word Mo, but read it as if it says, Meyo, Meyo Hashem Elokecha Shol Meimach. God is asking you for 100. Of Birchas HaShachar, Birchas HaShachar is a quarter, 25% roughly, of our daily dosage of brachos. It's Machlokas Achrona, by the way. It seems that women are not obligated in the 100 brachos every day, because some of the brachos, obviously, women don't say. Tzitzis, tefillin, etc. In the traditional list of 100. You can make it up in other ways, of course, but the Sheva Talevi writes that women are not obligated. So what? It's a very nice drasha. Where does it come from, Bermeer? Ma, Meo, 100. It's a nice round figure. The Imre Emes, the Ger Rebbe said, and this is really the purpose of Tfilos. What is it? Ma Hashem Elokecha Shol Meimach Kim Liyiras Hashem Elokecha. What does God want? God wants that we should revere Him. Yiras Hashem. So the Imre Emes said that a person who surrounds himself with 100 brachos during the day, that person is imbued with Yiras Hashem. Has to be. What does it mean, 100 brachos? So you knock off 25 here, you knock off another 57 saying the Amida three times. So we're in the 80s, 82 already. You have other brachos, Kriya Shema is up to 85, Ma'ariv 89, then you have Birchas HaMazon. You have Bracha Rishona, Birchas HaMazon, Alatias Yadayim, Asha Yatzar, all the other brachos that we say during the day. Meaning that whenever a person indulges in an activity which involves any type of pleasure, that person is immediately turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, Baruch Atah Hashem, acknowledging God as the master and the source of whatever it is he or she is involved in. That is Ma Hashem Elokecha Shol Meimach Kim L'Yiras Hashem Elokecha. What's Yiras Hashem? A recognition of the transcendence of God. It's an awe of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, reverence. A person who's making brachos constantly, you see a rainbow, you hear lightning, see lightning, hear thunder. Moshe actually saw thunder and heard lightning at Har Sinai. That's a separate point. But Klal Yisrael did it, Maim Har Sinai. You see natural phenomena. Osimasa Brachos, Shekochu Grosso Moli Olam. Person who always has brachos on his lips. You see a rainbow, or Zohar Bris, Benemon Bevrisu, the kind of Mamoro. Person who's surrounded by brachos, so that really is Yiras Hashem. It's a constant awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What else does it add? There's another source for this concept of 100 brachos, and that's in number 4. The Tur in Simon Mem Vav quotes Rav Natro Nai Gaon, one of the Gaonim in the 9th century, Reish Masifta in Masa Mechasya, Mechasya city. So he quotes Yerushalmi that David HaMelech Olav Hashem Tikein Mea Brachos. David was the one who first ordained the notion there should be 100 brachos, and he gave the Sanhedrin the authority to compose these 100 brachos. They weren't in the text that we have today until much later, the Anshe Knesset HaGdolah, the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash. But nonetheless, it came from David, because the Pasuk says at the end of Shmuel Beis, Num HaGever, who come all? Who come all? He was raised on high. The words of the man who was raised on high. What's all? All in Gematria is Kuf, 100. What happened? Ki b'chol yom hayu meisim mea nefashos mi Yisrael. In David's time, after one of the down periods, really after the sin of the counting of the Jews, 100 people were dying a day. They didn't know why they were dying until they investigated the reason. The Tikelim Yisrael Kuf Brachos. And they ordained, we should say 100 brachos, and then the death stopped. The Al Ken Tiknu Chachamim Zal Elo Abrachos Seder Olam Mahanogaso Lahashlim Kuf Brachos B'chol Yom. And a person has to be careful to say 100, not to be less. Of course, you could add Ubracha Sheniskan Olo Kemosh Amur Chachamim. I'm sorry, Amos of Yosef Al Kol Bracha Bracha Sheniskalo. If you want, you could add to the brachos. It's a list. Mishabura is a list. As Chazal said, Baruch Hashem Yom Yom B'chol Yom. Every day we have to convey to God the essence of the brachos. In one sense, it means every day has a unique set of brachos. Hayom yom sheni b'shabos. Yom tov is a different set. Shabbos, Yom HaKippurim, Chanukah, etc. So every day you have to give the particularly appropriate set of brachos. But it means every day a person has to be connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through these brachos. What does it mean? Who come all? Because 100 died, they were misaken 100 brachos. So I think what it's telling us, in a very poetic way, as Chazal always used, is that brachos really for us are the nutrients of life. Brachos are what sustain us. They're nutrients of the soul. They're our daily nourishment. What does the FDA have on the side of a package? Recommend the daily dosage of this vitamin or that. The 100 brachos are the recommended daily dosage of a person's interaction with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. because every bracha is a point of contact between man and God over things that most of the world perceives as mundane. A cup of water, shakol nieh bedvaro. Person takes a cup of water, right? He's acknowledging that God is the creator of the world. It's an amazing system. Every bracha lifts us above the mundane, and therefore the Jewish soul is nourished by brachos. On those days where a person does not make the brachos, we're lacking those points of contact. It's interesting, there's a minig on Yom HaKippurim to sniff some type of besamim several times. In our shul, I think only the Svard minig has this minig, for reasons I won't get into. But you sniff besamim, why? Because since you can't eat, you're lacking brachos, so you want to make it up. I think, what's a reyach? A reyach is something which is really almost abstract, because we don't see the effect, we don't see the fragrance. But you make a brach on besamim, and you absorb it, you sniff it, that's nourishment to the soul. It's not the scent, it's the bracha which revives us, and that's what has to be done. Of course, there's another dimension to brachos as well, that the Mishnah Berurah quotes here, number 5, Simon Mem Vav, that all the brachos, Birchas HaShachar, Birchas HaNenin too, in one sense, most of the brachos in Birchas HaShachar are brachos HaNenin. But he says all these brachos, Mishum de Osula Laodom Lehanos Menom Azebli Bracha, a person is not allowed to benefit, to enjoy this world, until he makes a bracha. V'chal HaNene, a person who enjoys something from this world without a bracha, it's as if he's trespassing. Me'ilu means to take something which is holy and use it for profane purposes. Because that's the contrasting psukim. K'siv l'ashem ha'aretz u'mlo'ah. One pasuk says, the world and everything in it belongs to God. And another pasuk says, "Hashem Artzum Lo," of course, the Shir Shayom on Sundays. Other pasuk is from Hallel, "Hashemaim Shemaim Lashem, V'Aretz Nasan Luvnei Adam." The heavens are for God, but the earth belongs to us. So how could the earth belong to us if Hashem Artzum Lo? So the Gemara in Brachos Darshins, "Kan Kodem Bracha, Kan Lifnei Bracha." Before you make a bracha, it's Hashem Artzum Lo. It all belongs to God. After you make a bracha, that's the matir to use that object or benefit from that pleasure, and then it belongs to you. Kodem bracha hi lashem asurim locha kehekdesh shu lashem. But after bracha, hutar akol livnei adam. After the bracha, it's permissible to everybody. One more point before we look at the brachos, and that's in number 6, back in Erech HaShulchan, Simon Hay, but Sif Pez. Bechala brachos vatfilos onim edaber melov yisbarach b'loshon nochach, baruch ator. Again, it's a beautiful concept to think of. The brachos weave together the second person, which is direct, personal, blessed are you, and the third person as well. Say, asher kiddushanu b'mitzosav, who has sanctified us with his commandments. Third person. But every bracha starts in the second person, as if the human being is, not as if, he is given the right to address the Borei Olam, the Melech Malchem Lachem directly. Baruch Atah Hashem. You, God, I'm talking directly to you. We don't need intermediaries. We talk directly to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and that's the beauty of those pristine words. Baruch Atah Hashem. Not only do we speak directly to God, Baruch Atah Hashem Shomea Tefillah, God is the one who listens directly to our tefillos, as individuals, and in a preferred sense, as a tzibur as well. So we looked at HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Sif Aleph, he said, to elicit the brachos, his brachos upon us, and Sif Beis, we approach him directly. Just a brief point about the text is in number 7, Sif Dalet. What are we thinking of? So Baruch we now know. Kolel kol ha-brachos, mikar kol ha-brachos, the repository, the source of all the brachos. Hashem, yechavein adnus, we think of God's mastery, v'hoya hove v'yiyah, that God is eternal. Meaning, as I mentioned last week, A week and a half ago, we spoke about the first ikur of Metzius Hashem. Whenever we say Hashem, God's name, we think that we recognize, acknowledge that God exists, that He is the eternal God, He transcends time, He's the Borei Olam, and He's the Master. Simply saying the Shem Hashem is an acknowledgement of that. Prefacing it with Baruch Atah as the source of all blessings is the entree to stand before the Melech Malchem Lochem. So what exactly are the Brachos HaShachar? What are they? What are we saying? In a very simple sense, they are the preparation for davening. They're the Hachonas HaGavra, the preparation of the individual for tefillah, in the sense that before we're now going to do battle, the Melchemes Hashem, we're going to wage war, we're presenting ourselves literally as the Tzivos Hashem, the army of God, before we can stand in tefillah. Tefillah meaning Shmon Esrei, that's the classic tefillah. Like every soldier, we have to present ourselves for inspection. There's a checklist to make sure we are in a proper intellectual and emotional framework in order to embark on the awesome task of praising God and standing before Him in tefillah. That checklist involves many things which are hakaras hatov, expressions of gratitude to God. It's a recognition of God as the Borei Olam. It's really a preparation of the Gavra to be Meshabeach Hashem, to be one who can praise God. So all the brachos answer one question. Who are we? Two questions. What right do we have to stand before the Melech Malchem Lachem, before the King of Kings? So therefore all the brachos HaShachar relate to this world, to our lives, Olam Hazeh, to the mundane, to the building blocks of the human being, the components of the human personality that in composite make up the Eved Hashem. And it literally is a checklist. We go down the list, it's as if we're acknowledging that all the systems are in order, all our recognitions, all our acknowledgments, all our parts for that matter, are in working order. For that we're appreciative, and for that we dedicate ourselves to service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if you look at the Siddurim, what's the first bracha we say? Al Netilas Yadayim. Zechiyev, as we know, to wash our hands every morning with a kos. Zechiyev, the Rambam says, Zechiyev simply for tefillah, before you daven. Every time you daven, you have to wash your hands before. It comes because of Nikiyos, because of Ruach Ro, the Gemara says. But it's a preparation of tefillah as well, and something else. If you look at number 8, the Beis Yosef quotes the Tshuvas HaRashba. It's the bottom left on the first page in Siman Dalet, Sifkat and Zion. So the Rashba asks, why do we wash our hands in the morning? It's a male, a person washes because they're unclean. But why is it a religious act and not simply a hygienic act? Vimtisha, Maishna Tfilas HaShachar mi Tfilas HaMincha VeArvis. What's the difference? We go to such lengths, like we say, Al Netilas Yadayim, we wash before Shachris. We don't say we wash before the other Tfilos. So the Rashba answered, Eishlomo Lefisha B'Shachar Anunasim Kivriya Chadosha. We wake up in the morning, we're new creatures. As the Pasuk said in Echa, Chadoshim LaBakorim, the Boker comes, we're new, we're recreated. Rabba Munasecha, great is your faithfulness, because we're new creatures in the morning, revived, reinvigorated. Tzrichimanu lahodos lo yisbarach al shebaranu lechvodo lesharso ulevarach bishmo. So we have to thank God, acknowledge that we've been created for His glory, to serve Him and to bless His name. Ulefichach anu tzrichim leskadesh bekedushaso. We're sanctified with His sanctity. Velito yadai min akli kikohen shemekadesh odav min akiyor kodem avodoso. Every Jew wakes up in the morning, washes his or her hands. It's like a kohen getting ready to perform the avodah. At night, we're exempt from the avodah. Comes the morning, Our, we don't have to be a kohen to serve God. On the contrary, everybody has a different mechanism, different way of serving God. Within halach, of course, but the different roles. Kohen does one thing, Levi, Yisrael, men, women, other things. Every morning, a kohen is obligated, before he begins avodah, to wash his hands with a kli from the kiyar. So we do the exact same thing. If the gavra presents himself as a new being, fresh, prepared, ready to serve, like a kohen, so you see why it's not just washing hands. It's washing hands with a kos, with a kli, just like the kohen did. Because now we're ovde Hashem, about to begin our avodas Hashem. That's the first thing, the sanctification of the hands. What comes next? Really one of the beautiful brachos, an acknowledgement of our frailties. Really a tribute to HaKadosh Baruch Hu over the creation of the guf. Asher yotzer asa adam mechochma. God who created man with wisdom. It's an amazing bracha. So man, of course, I mean, obviously, man was created with tremendous chokhmah, such wisdom that no human being is able to duplicate it. The Marsha explains here, interestingly, that God created man, man as a being with chokhmah. Man is the one with chokhmah. See, here God created a man with chokhmah, and yet that man, that person is subject to such vulnerabilities. Uvaravo nikovim, nikovim, chalulim, chalulim, openings, cavities, galui vedu, think he's in kodecha, and you the creator know. Shemi pasecha chad mayam, o yisasem echad mayam, if one opens, one closes, if the slightest thing goes wrong, we all recognize this, God forbid, sometimes great things can go wrong. But even if a small thing goes wrong, you hurt a toe, you hurt a little toe, your tooth hurts, take out the smallest parts of the body, and you're affected by it. It affects the whole body, affects your mood, affects the way you carry on with your family, with your business. A little toe, a little tooth. Yes, that's the chokhmah. And certainly the internal organs. You don't even know something can go wrong, God forbid, and it goes wrong. That really is a recognition of who we are as human beings. And notice, of course, this bracha, by the way, you say in the morning, even if you don't use the bathroom. Because of Shevach Hashem for his creation of the human being, the guf. It's interesting, the bracha, of course, is used after we relieve ourselves, even though it makes no reference to the fact that we've relieved ourselves necessarily, to make the very interesting point that we're not behemos, even though we share excretory functions with the behemos. But in fact, we're not behemos. And we're given, even though our guf has nikovim and chalulim, just like that of a behemoth, nevertheless, there's another dimension to us. And that's the end of the bracha. If you turn the page, look at number 9, the Gemara bracha, Daf Samech Amud Beis, which has the text of the bracha in its entirety, debated the conclusion, my chosim. What's the end of the bracha? Omar Rav Rofe Cholim. God is the healer of the sick. Omar Shmuel Kashavinu Abel Kuli Alma Tzire. Everybody's sick. Ela Rofe Kobasar. Simply not the Chola, Rofe Kobasar. God heals all flesh. You don't have to be ill to recognize the value of health. Even though, Rahman Litzlan, sometimes it takes ill health to recognize the value of. No, God is Rofe Kobasar. God heals all flesh. Rashesha Samar Mafli Lasos. He acts wondrously in creating a body which on some level parallels that of the animals, but on the other hand enables us to do wondrous things in the spiritual realm. Omrav Papa, Hilkach, Nemrinu L'Travai, we say both, and that's the end of the bracha. Rofei Kol Basar U'Mafli Lasos, that God heals all flesh and acts wondrously. What's the greatest wonder of all? So look how the Ramah, it's interesting. All the Mefarshim point out that the Shulchan Aruch here, for the only time as Siman Shulchan Aruch, which just defines the bracha, gives no halachos, just as a sifra to at least, just defining the various aspects of the bracha and what we should understand from the bracha, and the Ramah too. So Ramah says at the end of Sif Aleph in Siman Vav, number 10, What's the wonder of a Kadosh Baruch Hu? That here the guf, our guf is intact, and yet God preserves the spirit within man. And God somehow ties together the spirit with the physical. He can only do that because he heals all flesh. Because then man is healthy and his soul is preserved within him. It's a very interesting dichotomy because you have the body and the soul, and they're separate elements, the body being physical, the soul being non-physical, and yet they're intertwined. So much so that you can't have a body without a soul, right? And even more so, when the soul leaves the body, Rahman al-Islam, also known as death, the body could be intact. It's just the neshama is gone, the ruach is gone. So, mafli lasos, God is kosher, the ruach, davar ruchani b'davar gashmi. So that's a transitional chasima, because here we're acknowledging God's mastery in creating our bodies as he did. Rofei kol basar mafli lasos, the fact that this body contains a soul, to wit, this body has a part that can apprehend the Chochmas Hashem, so that adds a dimension to human life that is very unique to the human being. That's why you find the one minig, one nusach, is actually to follow this bracha, Rofei kol basar mafli lasos, with the bracha of Elokai Neshama Tahora Shenasat, I'm sorry, Elokai Neshama Shenasatavi Tahorahi. If you look at some old Sidurim, you see that, because it makes sense. Once you acknowledge the guf, so now we acknowledge the Neshama as well. We'll discuss in a moment why we have it a little later on, after Birchas HaTorah. But in here, you see, that's the transition. Aruch HaShulchan says, the bracha focuses on the creation of man, not the act of relieving ourselves, because ain't in kavod, true. And he says the hana for that comes after the bracha. Usually the bracha precedes the hana, but more so it's written the remez. And the remez, the illusion that exists in this bracha, is to the dual nature of man. Once we recognize the dual nature of man, notice, we sanctify ourselves first, we recognize the frailties and therefore the gift of life itself, and we recognize we're a combination of Ruach and Neshama, then we could say Birchas HaTorah. Birchas HaTorah v'tzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah. God has commanded us to engross ourselves, to involve ourselves in the world of Torah. So we know, famous Machlokas Rishonim, the women recite Birchas HaTorah. So Ashkenazim Paskin, yes, because women are obligated to learn those parts of Torah which apply to them. So therefore, it's a bracha everybody has to recite every day. That's Birchas HaTorah. And notice again, I just want to make the point of the Ramah. We have to acknowledge that we have a unique nature. There are many creatures of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaShemai Mesaprim Kvod Kel. All the stars and the luminaries also praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But we have a very unique dimension. We're fragile on the one hand, and on the other hand, we possess a soul which is eternal. So now we can say Birchas HaTorah. Birchas HaTorah is both a Birchas HaShevach, Birchas HaMitzvah, and a Birchas HaShevach. Look at number 12, the Aruch HaShulchan. In Simon Mem Zayin, Sif Yudalad. Inyan Brachos Eil Shemikodim Mivarchim Kamoshim Mivarchim Akol Mitzvah. Kodim HaSiyasa. It's a Birchas HaMitzvah. Because since we're obligated every day to learn Torah, you have to say a bracha before. Then we ask God for wisdom, understanding. There should be a sweetness in Torah. Beautiful phrase. Vaharevna. Make the words of Torah sweet to us. If the words of the Torah are not sweet, it's usually because there's some bitterness within us. Because the words of the Torah are always sweet. We have to work on. Work on a lev Torah, a pure heart. So the words of the Torah remain pure and sweet to us as well. Lishma, mipnei shebozeh in adomet talmud Torah l'chol ha-mitzvos. Talmud Torah is different than any other mitzvah, because all the other mitzvahs use our bodies, our limbs. Mitzvah zo mikoro b'leiv v'moach. This mitzvah is in our heart, our brains, our intellect. If we don't understand what we're learning, there's no mitzvah. We have no kavanah to learn l'shma, there's also no mitzvah. So therefore we ask derech bakasha, it's vaharivna, that God should help us leida taraso velilmod bakara'ui. This is not something to be trivialized or trifled with, because unfortunately it was a historic problem in the Jewish world. You look at the Gemara in the Nedarim, Daf Pei Aleph Amud Aleph, I just cited the Ran in number 11. So there the Gemara says that groups were punished because they did not say Birchas HaTorah before learning. So the Ran, if you skip down a few lines, Matzosi b'Megilas Storm Shel Rav Rabbeinu Yono Dikra Hochi Dayog Da'al Shelo Berachu Batara Tchila of the Haaretz. So the Gemara there quotes the pasuk Al Moh of the Haaretz. The Chacham asks, why was the land of Israel lost to us? So Rishalmi that the Ran quote says because they didn't say the Birchas HaTorah first. It's strange. They didn't make Birchas HaTorah before learning. So for that we had to go into exile. The Misal Ozvamis Torah Si Kipashto Mashma She'ozvas HaTorah. The pasuk says because they abandoned the Torah. It's obvious. So why do they have to ask Almo for what? So the Ran answers, based on Rishalmi, it's not that they abandoned the Torah, they stopped learning. They did learn. Elawad, Vaday Oskim Hoye B'Torah Tamid, Lefichach, they were Chachamim, Nevi'im, etc. So they asked, Tameim, Amav Da'aretz. So God explained to them, Shehu Yodea Me'omke Halev, Shehoye Mavorchim B'Torah Tchila. They didn't say the bracha first. Klomar, Shehoysa Torah Chashuva B'Nehem. They learned the Torah, but it wasn't important to them, Kokach. They learned Torah, but they didn't see their Talmud Torah as service of God. They didn't even see the connection of the Torah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This mitzvah is a mitzvah of the mind, therefore it has a special bracha, but it's a mitzvah of the mind which obligates us to recognize the uniqueness of Torah. What uniqueness of Torah? It's the Chochmas Hashem. It's God's wisdom given to man. If it's God's wisdom given to man and it's not studied for that purpose, so it is essentially a corruption of Torah. I remember I told a story a few years ago. I grew up next to someone. You know who it is? I won't mention his name. But he told me once a story that he grew up on the Lower East Side. He was a young boy, I guess he was in the 30s at the time, and he was walking home from shul with his father once, and he looks, walking on the side of those tenement apartments, he looks through one of the windows, and he sees two guys learning Gemara, smoking cigarettes. So he says to his father, Eichatei, see, how could this be? So his father explained to him on his level, but what is it? They were not Shomrei Shabbos. But for them, this was culture. What was Jewish culture? Learning the Talmud. They weren't wise enough yet to watch The Apprentice. So they're sitting and learning Gemara. But to them, it had no religious significance. None. So they saw no contradiction between smoking cigarettes on Shabbos and learning. Because Gemara is interesting. It's seductive. It draws the mind in. A person who's intelligent, any person who's intelligent, you get involved, machloko, shaklu v'tario, rishonim, this argument, that. So it is very seductive. But it had no religious significance to them. That's al ma'ov da'aretz. That's al ozvamis Torah, see? That's a lack of chashivas of Torah. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says. They saw it purely as an intellectual exercise, but it did not touch the soul. We say Birchas HaTorah in the morning, Lasok B'Divrei Torah, it means it's supposed to touch our soul. It's also a daily reminder, Chazal say, of Maimed Har Sinai. That's the second bracha. Asher b'charbonu mikol ha'amim v'nasan lanu es toraso. God gave us the Torah. Every morning we remind ourselves that God appeared at Sinai and gave the Jewish people the Torah. That's a very important reminder as well. There's a beautiful pshat of the altar of Kelm. Everybody always asks, why does it say v'tzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah? Not lilmot Torah, study Torah. La'asok to be involved. So the altar of Kelm, Reb Simcha Zissel Ziv, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, the great Talmud of Yisrael Salanter, said, what word reminds us, it emerges, is derived from lasok, asek. What's an asek? Business. Torah has to be a business. What's business? Person gets up in the morning, you go to work, you don't feel well, you go to work anyway. You have distractions during the day, you shut off the distractions and focus on your work, because that's what work is. Work is so you need parnos, you need to make money. Lasok b'divrei Torah. Torah has to be a business. It tolerates no distractions. It tolerates no days off. Yehem chayenu or chameinu. I don't want to live today. I don't want to breathe today. Nobody would say such a thing. Lasok b'divrei Torah. The Alter said, you make Torah your asek, and that's an appreciation of Torah. Then Torah becomes sweet. Something else in Siftes Vav, in number 12, in the Aruch HaShulchan, he adds a point that you see the Torah says, the Bracha says, V'nosan lonu es Torah, so he gave us the Torah. Brachat Hashem nosenat Torah, he gives us the Torah. There's a change, a shift from past tense to present tense. What's the difference? So that's what the Aruch HaShulchan takes up in Tesvav. He says, this is a question. And he says, yeah, there are really two separate brachos. Nasalonu es Toroso is a remembrance of Maimed Har Sinai, the revelation at Sinai. But no Sinat Torah, he al nesinaso lonu b'chol yom. We accept the Torah every day too. Person wakes up in the morning, so the learning of the day before is somewhat of a predicate for the next day's learning, but it makes no difference. You can't say, I learned yesterday, I'm not going to learn today, take a day off. That doesn't exist. That's what it means, came chayenu or echameinu. So not only do we acknowledge God gave us the Torah at Sinai, we have to acknowledge as well that God is the giver of the Torah. He's a nosen Torah today as well. Now, we come to the... We skip in some of the nuschos, nusach svar, for example. The next, I skipped actually a kind of shamash in a sat tahoris. Now you understand. Once we say the brichas haTorah in our nusach, so now we could praise God for restoring our soul to us. Without Torah, there's no purpose. And the Kutzker answered, "Who would want to?" That's the question. So once we have a neshama, well, once we have Torah, then we acknowledge, we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for restoring the neshama to us. If you think about it conceptually, the other nusach makes more sense. To follow the brach of the guf, mafilasas, the brach of neshama, and then the Torah, which enriches our neshama. But there's something to be said for our nusach also, our text. You say the brichas haTorah first, and then you acknowledge the soul, that's the purpose of the soul. We should enrich the soul with the Torah. So now, in the Nusach Svarad, you find, not our Svarad, but the Eidot HaMizrach, the trilogy of brachos stand apart from the brachos, Sech Vivino, and the other brachos. Let's take that up, it's number 13. Again, the Gemara, Menachos, Daf Mem Gimel Beis. Tanya, Harav Mer Omer, Chayav Adam Levarach, Shalosh Brachos B'chol Yom. Person say three brachos every day. Elu Hein, Shosani Yisrael, Shosani Isha, Shosani Bur. And Tosefta is a different girsa, not Shosani Yisrael, but Shalosani Goy, Shalosani Oved Kochavim in the original. Not to be a non-Jew, not to be an Eved, the second one, not to be a Bur. Shosani Yisrael was rejected. In fact, the Russian Rifters had the Girsa Shalosani Goy. Because once you say Shosani Yisrael, it's inclusive of the next two brachos. So in fact, if a person would say, let's say, don't take this the wrong way, if a person would say, first, Shalosani Isha, a man, really, you could not say Shosani Goy and Shalosani Oved. Because in fact, the Isha is on a higher level, so therefore it's inclusive of what comes beneath it. Of course, we're talking, as Rashi notes in 19 on the Gemara Menachos, it's in Mitzvos, and the Beis Yosef in Simon and Vav, Osdal number 14, elaborates. So all these brachos, Achiv a Mitzvos saying. So for example, Lo Asani Goy, Shena Bar Mitzvah Klal. Goy has no Mitzvos except for the seven that are just universal. And then we say Shalosani Oved, because even though the Eved has Ktsas Mitzvos, he has fewer than and we're talking about Eved Kanani, he's fewer than a man, and he has other problems too, he's choshed al gezel, and then he has no schus avos. And an isha is not chayevis in most mitzvos, not mitzvah shes mangroma and a handful of others. So it's an ascending order of brachos. What is it? So after we say brachas haTorah and we bless our soul, what in fact are we saying? We're embracing the mitzvos. So it's a progression. All right. We thank God for not giving us just a handful of mitzvos, not giving us more mitzvos, not giving us most mitzvos, but giving us all the mitzvos. And those are the three shaloh asanis. Women, as we know, say shosani kirtzono, that God made me according to His will. Of course, in context, what it means is that a woman couldn't say shosani ish, because that would be a renunciation of having more brachos. That would not be good. What shosani kirtzono? It's actually a beautiful bracha. It's a beautiful bracha. The truth is, will we say, would a man could say the same thing, really? What would be the harm if a man said shani kirtzono too? Because we were also created according to His will. So in fact, it's not true. If you look at number 15, it's brought in the Tali Oros, which is a wonderful source on tefillah. He brings two nice pshatim. One, from the Siach Tzvi, he says, why is the text, Yush, shani kirtzono? Because, you know, Chazal say on the pasuk in the first parak of Bereishis, God said, "Nase Adam b'tzameinu k'dmuseinu." Let us make man. What's the us? So Rashi quotes the Medrash. Kadosh Baruch Hu was nimlach with the Malachi Asharis. God consulted the Malachim. Should we create man? Should we not create man? So therefore, it was a committee decision, to create man. But that's man. Ilu bebriya so isha lo matzino shenimlachim malachei hashareis el asok kirtzano aprati. When God created woman, He didn't consult the malachim. So therefore, if, so to speak, there is the input of the malachim in the creation of man, there was no input of malachim in the creation of woman, and therefore women are the pure creation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu kirtzano, according to His will, without any other advice. The second pshat he writes is from the Masos Kapai, Shosani Kirtzono, that again, when man was created, the Torah says that Lo Tov Heyos Adam Levado. Man was created, he was lacking something, he was deficient. So therefore, it was a deficiency in creation that women complemented. But when woman was created, Chava was created, there was no such deficiency. So literally, Shosani Kirtzono. Right. Those of Pshatim, of course, in its halachic context, it reflects the embrace of brachos, which is the next step of the Gavra, who's standing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I want to, by the way, take up these three brachos at greater length, and that will do Shavuos night. You're all invited. What about all the other brachos? Let's look at number 20. See, a basic machlokas. So the Gemara says, the basic thrust of the Gemara and the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch is that the brachos that we say are experiential brachos. Kishama kol tarnagolo, when a person hears the rooster in the morning, he should say, Asher nosan osech vivino, God gave the rooster understanding to distinguish between night and day. When he opens his eyes, say pokeach ivrim. When he sits up, meaning he breaks out of the prone position, matir asurim. Dresses, malbish arumim. Stands up, zokef kfufin. Steps on the ground, rokarz alamayim. When he puts on his shoes, mechem etzadeh gofer. That's why, by the way, there's some of a minig not to say this bracha on Tisha B'Av, because we don't wear shoes. He starts to walk. Mechem etzadeh gofer. Kisai misani, puts it on, shosli kartzarki. That's the bracha of the shoes, osli kartzarki. Ki osar hamyone, he girds his belt, oz is obigvura. Parsuja reshe, puts his hat on, yeah, birds wear a hat, puts a hat on. According to the Gemara, these are experiential brachas. You do them, you say the bracha. You don't do them, you don't say the bracha. And the Rambam has the exact same halacha. These are not universal shvachos. They're personal shvachos. Theoretically, you don't hear a rooster, as I haven't heard in Teaneck for quite some time now. Although I do hear the sanitation men in the morning. What's that? For the sanitation men. You just thank God that they came and took it away. So, you don't say it. We don't pass on that, as you know. Look at number 17. The Mechaber adds in Sif Beis, Achshov, Mibnei Shein Haidam Nikiyos, Vigam Ne Ame Aartzos, Sheinam Yodim Osam, because our hands are not always clean, we're dressing in the morning, and because of people ignorant, they don't know the brachos, Nagu L'Sadram Beveis HaKnesses, Onim Amen Achareyam, V'yotzen Dechavosan. So now it became part of the tefillah, even though originally it was designed to be objective praise of God. So for example, look at Tosis and brachos, number 18, kol, you say the bracha shama. So now Tosis really adopts the latter viewpoint. This is really a pure shavach, it's objective praise. Even if you don't hear the rooster, you'd say it anyway. Just like Rahman al-Islam, somebody blind, he says Pokeach Ivrim too. Why? The famous story of the Gemara. The Gemara relates right here, because maybe he can't see, but he still benefits from people who can see. So therefore says the bracha too. And all these brachas are similar, even though one may not be the beneficiary of every particular blessing, nevertheless they're universal blessings. There's only one exception, by the way, very interesting. A ger, a convert, does not say shalosani goy. It's machlokas whether he should say Shasani Ger, and their opinions that justify it. Shasani Ger, even though he did it of his own volition. Nevertheless, Shasani Ger, God was involved in his decision too. But he can't say Shasani Goy because God made him a non-Jew and he chose to be a Jew. That's the only exception. Why do we care what the roosters do, by the way? What's the difference? So it's interesting, Mishnah Berurah says that Sechvi is not a reference to a rooster. A sechvi means the intellect. Pasuk in Iyov, it speaks of the sechvi vino. The sechvi means our intellect. That is to say, and it's a truism, we can appreciate nothing in life unless we have the ability to make distinctions. That's bino. Bein something, then this or that. Bina means the ability to distinguish between one thing and another. All these brachos are hakaras hatov. They're gratitude for what God has given us. And of course, all these things, you go down the entire list, they're all things we take for granted. We take for granted until Rahman said we can't do it. And then we don't take it for granted anymore. But when we say these brachos in the morning, it's a reminder to us that we need not reach that stage that we can't do it, in order to acknowledge God's beneficence in granting us these abilities. So just like we get dressed in the morning, one garment at a time, so too we present ourselves before HaKadosh Baruch Hu for tefillah, also one bracha at a time. Each state of our hisorus, of our awakening in the morning, from the moment we hear the rooster or the clock radio, and we open our eyes and start moving and get up, get dressed, every aspect of our daily life must find acknowledgement, because that's part of the checklist we offer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. At the end of these lists of brachos, there are two added brachos, which are not in the Gemara, they're from a later period. Hanosen Loyev Koach, God is the one who gives strength to the weary, which everybody can appreciate. Should be the first bracha, by the way. Where is this from? 21. Tzarech HaShulchan says in Siman Mem Vav, Siv Zayin, this bracha is not in the Gemara, and there are some, this is the Beis Yosef, argued against it, but we all say it, along with the bracha of Hamaver Shena Me'inoi Usnuma Me'afapoi, because these brachos also, so now that we're ready to move, alright, this is Hakaras HaTov HaKadosh Baruch Hu, acknowledging His mastery of creation, that we're recharged every day. It may not feel like it, but we should be, depending on our sleep patterns, the norm is to be reinvigorated in the morning. We're tired at night, we fall asleep. Wake up in the morning, we've had our share of sleep. Most objects are not like that. If your car is, getting fatigued, wearing down, and you let it sleep overnight, it's the same worn down heap in the morning. Not the human body. Human body is recharged at night, because Hashem is Hanosein Layoif Koach.
What does a person do on the third shift?
Third shift, yeah, of his sleep?
No, he starts working at 11 and he finishes at 7.
Oh, it's the same thing. He makes the same bracha. He can make the same bracha. I mean, this bracha you say any time, whenever you wake up, you say the bracha. So he works through the night?
He hasn't gone to sleep then.
Well, when did he go to sleep?
At 7 o'clock in the morning.
Well, did he daven yet?
No.
When's he going to daven then?
He has to daven.
He has to daven before he goes to sleep. Maybe he would say the bracha in any event. All right? I would say, in that case, the rooster has a greater conception of time than he does. Because we should be sleeping at night. But, still, the sechvi has been a lot. The intellect can distinguish between night and day. Meaning, in his particular case, he has to work at night. But the principle is still the same. We have the ability to distinguish between night and day. So he works at night, but the praise is the same. Well, you say in terms of Layoev Kalach, he's weary. It's a different issue. But again, God gives, even in his case, he may lose his fatigue at a different point of the day, but he does lose it. And that's the fact that we are revivified on a daily basis, that's the praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hamav Rishena Meinoi, Stumah Fatah introduces a long bracha. This is one long bracha. We know we don't answer Amen until Gomel Chasam Tel Lam Yisrael. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for a few things, especially Al Tavein Aloli Dechait, or Aveira V'Avo Niso, not to bring us to sin. So Shlach Kadosh asks, what does this mean? Al Tavein Aloli Dechait, not to bring us to sin. I mean, it's our Bechira, whether we want to sin or not. So Shlach Kadosh said, it's not true. It is our Bechira, that is true. But yet, we can ask Kadosh Baruch Hu not to put us in situations where we're liable to sin. And that really is a special hashgach of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's easy for a person to succumb. It's much more difficult for a person to succumb to sin if he's in an environment where sin is frowned upon. I'll give you a simple case. You know, a person doesn't want to speak Lashon Hara. He should ask God, Al Tividen Lo Dechait, I don't want to meet that person today who always speaks Lashon Hara. I don't want to see that gossip today. Well, a person doesn't want to talk in shul, gets a shul on time, I pray that, I can give you a long list of names, so-and-so does not sit next to me today because something might happen and I might be brought to sin. That's a special tefillah. Don't put us in a situation where we'll be tested, where we may come to sin. That a person is allowed to ask for, because the Shlach said, Habalat Tamei, oh, you know the people I'm talking about, I bet. All right. Everybody has their own list. Habalat Tamei, Poschemo, person wants to sin, they open for him. He's entitled to sin as well. L'olam Ye'odam, we're finishing now, is the basic credo. We should be a Reish Shamayim, Mod Alo Emes. These tefillos by Yiratzon, they're all tefillos in the Gemara, individual tefillos of Amoraim that were incorporated in our davening. Now, Lo'ol Me'odim is a beautiful tefillah. So beautiful that we say the essence of it, Lo'ol Tzidkosein Anach Tachanum L'fanecho, we say that in Ne'ilah, of all places, in Chazaras HaShatz of Ne'ilah, we say this paragraph that we say every single day. Be Rei Shemayim, have an awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We recite Kriya Shema here, added on the 5th century because of the persecution of the Zoroastrians. They were dualists. They objected to Jews reciting Hashem Echad. It's always kept as a reminder. We should think that, you know, it's also something to think about. We say Shema half-heartedly now because there was a whole just century of Jews that were not allowed to say it later on and sneaked it into the davening. And we say Karbanos too. If you look at number 22, the Gemara Megillah Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, and last week Sedra Ma Bamai Daki Rashanos, the Gemara says Bezchus HaKarbanos. Avram said Shema Chas V'Shalom Yisrael Chotim Ufanecha V'Atosu Lehem Kedar Mabu Kedar Palago Amlo Lav. So God, he said, what? How do I know? Kecholi ego mishulashes, that's karbonos. Amar lefan ribon shom teinach bisman shebeis hamikdash kayim. Melo, the karbonos will work when the beis hamikdash exists. Bisman sheein beis hamikdash kayim mate alayem, when the mikdash does not exist, what are they going to do? Amar lo, kfar tikanti lem seder karbonos. There's a seder karbonos which is, I don't want to say we say it every day, it's in the siddur. It's in the siddur. Kolz man shekarim lehem, karim bohem, maila ani alayan kilu makriven lefanai karbon, umochel ani al avanoseyem. Every time they say these texts, these karbonos, tomid, ola, etc., ketores, I'll construe it as if they are bringing these karbonos before me. All right, we happen not to say most of the karbonos. I don't know why. Before my time, for some reason, nobody says the Parshas Tomid. I actually say the Parshas Tomid every day. I don't see why not. That's the basic thing you're supposed to say. How somehow it dropped out of our liturgy, it's hard to understand. But I'm loath to add things, especially with the sensitivity of Shacharis that I recognize, but I don't see any reason, especially no reason to say Ezu Makomon and delete the Parshas Tomid. That makes no sense to me, but it's a different time and place. That's why do we say karbanos? It's a reminder that what are we offering ultimately before we start the essence of the tefillah? Ourselves. That's what a karban is. Adam ki yakriv mikem, we offer ourselves. Karbanos, a reminder, the real offering to Kadosh Baruch Hu is the lev and neshama of the human being. And that's why the parshas are inserted here. To summarize, there's a whole progression in this tefillah. We have to acknowledge our deficiency to stand before God. God is the mikor abrachos. And then we start the birchas hashachar, our presentation before God as a new person, a bria chadasha, commingling of the guf and the neshama, imbued with the Torah, with knowledge, where we're all b'nei ochi of mitzvos, where God acknowledges God's goodness in every mundane act, who bestowed upon us His ideas and His truths. God drew us to His service, so we should be able to bring ourselves before Him as offerings. What does all this prepare us for? All this introduction? It gives us the right to praise God. And that is Psukah de Zimra, which follows in 2 weeks. Thank you very much.